Okay, James chapter 1. A lot of you wouldn't hear, but it ain't been so long ago that we preached through the entire book of James on Sunday mornings, I believe. We may still have some of that somewhere on CD or jump drive. I know we do. I need to try to find it for anybody who wants to do a Bible study through James, because I remember it was really good. But I want to share one verse with you tonight that it's personal to me, because intimately the Lord just began to speak to me about this one verse. And it may not be the type of teaching or content that you find exciting, but it is the type that you'll find relevant. Number one, because all Scripture is. But number two, I'm a human like you are, so I know this Scripture's relevant for life. Look at James 1, verse 5. James 1, verse 5. And this is home base tonight. I really want to focus on this. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. If any of you lack wisdom. Now, there may be some of you tonight that says, I don't lack any. I'm perfectly wise. I don't think so. I think when James writes, he starts with "if any of you," because he knew that among them that there would be some in that moment that needed wisdom. If any of you, and that just means that sometimes we're gonna need it. We're gonna need wisdom in life. You ain't gonna have to go too far or go too long to find yourself in a spot where you are lacking wisdom. The word lack is liapo in Greek. It means to be deficient of. And there are times where the Lord is even telling us that we're going to be deficient of wisdom, but we don't have to remain deficient of wisdom, right? I think that's one of the points of this one verse. Okay, if we're just going to clearly understand this one verse, God is telling us, Stetton, there's going to be times that you need wisdom. I'm telling you right now, Stetton, there will be moments where you need wisdom. And I want you to know, in the moments that you need wisdom, you can't have wisdom. Okay, now the thing about this is it don't sound real lucrative tonight, because when we think of wisdom, we think about that old man or that old woman that just had an answer for every question we had, and when we didn't know what to do, we went and asked them what we ought to do, and they had been there before, and they had done that, and they had some experience, and they could tell us what to do. That's generally, in this Western civilized culture, when we use the word wisdom, that's what we think about. We just automatically associate it with somebody that's got silver hair, that's been there before, right? That's the American idea, I think, of wisdom. And it maybe it's not too far off, but I want us to think a little differently. Let me say this tonight, that the Greek word for wisdom is sophos, okay? Now listen to me for a second, because until you understand what wisdom is, then this verse ain't going to be as valuable. Okay, I'm over here, I'm wanting a deep encounter with God. I'm not wanting an old man to tell me what I need to do in life, right? So wisdom don't sound as lucrative to me, but it's because I have the wrong idea of what wisdom is, all right? So let's just look at what wisdom is. I think we need to define it. We need to understand that we will be lacking it at times in life. We've got to come to terms with, we will go through life at times needing it and not having it. And in those moments when we need it and don't have it, we can get it. Are you with me on that? You will find a moment when you need it. The good news is, and I'm getting ahead of myself, is that in that moment you can have it. But I think we need to define what it is, and then I want to tell you how you get it. And it won't take long, but I want to share that with you. So the Greek word is sophos, okay? Sophos. And it comes from a word, another form of the word in the Greek, that is sophos, okay? And that word, sophos, the word literally translates clarity, okay? So let's think together. If any man needs clarity, needs a clear perspective, a clear understanding, Okay? If you go a little further, it just means special insight or special understanding. And that's general, but we're going to go a little deeper with it. So we're talking about a special insight or a special understanding or some clarity brought to something that is not clear when we think about the word. Now, this is where you get the word, the English word, sophisticated, right? It comes from the word wisdom. Sophos, sophisticated. So if we say the computer is a sophisticated system, we mean that it's very complex, right? If I say that he or she is sophisticated, it means that she has a whole lot of knowledge or understanding, right? So we get the English word sophisticated. Or what about the word philosophy? Did you know that the word philosophy comes from wisdom? Phileo is what in the Greek? Love. So the last part of the word, philosophy, sophos, wisdom. So Plato, when he talks about philosophy, it's the love of wisdom. Our culture may not value it, but we need to understand there were many cultures that valued this clarity and this understanding and this insight, okay? They wanted to be somebody who could operate in the complex things in life, that had knowledge and understanding about life. And still, if I left it at that tonight, we are still selling the word short of what it means, okay? So we understand its basic meaning is clarity or insight or understanding, right? Now, I think we need to further define the word wisdom, and we're going to do that by using Scripture. Okay, if you look at James, we in verse 5, right? If you look at James 1 up until verse 5, James is talking about two things, really. He talks about there's going to be times in your life when you're going to be going through various trials, and that's verse number 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation or when you go through various trials. Knowing this, that the testing of your faith worketh patience. The testing of your faith. So now James has talked about times in life where we go through different types of trials and testing of our faith. Now, does that feel familiar? You ever went through life and you found yourself in a trial, and it was different than the last trial, and it was different than your friend's trial, but you was in a trial. One of many, right? How many of you's been through various trials? Not just one, but you've been there. Miss Betty, y'all know you've probably been through many different trials. And somewhere you go through various trials, and somewhere in the midst of various trials, you also find that there's testing of your faith. Now, James will tell you, God ain't going to tempt you to do nothing wrong. God will never tempt you to do nothing wrong. The enemy will always try to put you in trials, and he'll try to get you. He'll put you in various trials, and in that, God can turn the trial into a test, and he can edify your faith in it. And James talks about some of this. And there's times that we have to go through the faith test. God don't need the answer to the test, but you and I need the answer to the test. Sometimes I think I got faith, and I go through a trial, and I find out in the test of the faith in my trial, I find out I didn't have as good a faith as what I thought. Anybody else ever been there? I have. Hey, I got a lot of faith, man. I got a lot of faith on Sundays, and we're worshiping together. Things are good. Things are good. And then I go through a various trial, and I find out in the testing of the faith as I go through the trial that maybe Stetton didn't have as much as he thought he did. Anybody else been with me on that? Okay, so James is talking about in our life, there's going to be trials. You're going to go through trials. You got the enemy is going to throw trials at you, and the Lord knows how to turn a trial into a test of faith to edify our faith. And so we're talking about stuff like that. So when we think about understanding and clarity in the context of a trial or a faith test, now is this starting to make a little more sense? Okay, now, so let's think. Everybody can identify with trials in life. Everybody can identify with going through faith tests, okay? I shared with y'all maybe last Wednesday talking about Paul when he talks to Timothy in 1 Timothy and in 2 Timothy, how Paul tells Timothy that he says, fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. We talked about that. And I told you that the English word agony comes from that Greek word fight. And it carries the idea of the Greek games, how they would do like the wrestling or some of the combat stuff. And they would fight exhaustively, even to the death at times, right? And it would be agonizing. And Paul tells Timothy to fight the good fight of faith. He says, fight that fight with excellence. So we understand that there is something that is associated with our faith, and that's called a conflict. So Paul says later on in 2 Timothy that I have fought the good fight. I fought the fight of faith. I fought the fight. I kept the faith, right? And so we understand that in life, there's going to be a conflict that's connected to your faith. And a lot of the battles that you fight, it ain't over what you think it is. When it comes down to it, if the enemy's involved, it's over your faith. It's over your faith. The enemy would love to steal your faith, and God's trying to grow your faith. The battle's over your faith. That's why there's a fight. You got heaven and hell fighting over your faith, right? The enemy, he wants to steal your faith. He wants to steal your faith. And God's trying to impart it and grow it and everything else he can do to it, right? I mean, the Bible says every man's given a measure of faith. And so we know that God also, he's invested into our faith. And he's trying to edify our faith. Paul talks about that in Thessalonians. So there's the good fight of faith. And so there is a struggle that's connected to our faith. And when we go through life, there's going to be trials and there's going to be testing. And there's going to be times in the middle of the trial and in the middle of the test that we're not seeing clearly what we need to see. And we need to know more than what we know. Are you with me? So now we're talking a little more about wisdom. Let's look at what James says right here, because I really want you to get the right picture of wisdom. So it's clarity, special insight, special understanding. Let's look over here in James. Let me see. Let's look at James 3:13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above. Uh-oh. Now we're talking about wisdom, okay? There's a wisdom that James is talking about, and there's a type of wisdom James ain't talking about, right? This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable and gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Wisdom ain't that old man telling you what to do in your life. There is an earthly wisdom, and James ain't talking about that. He is talking about a wisdom that only comes from God. You can't get it in a book. You ain't going to get it from somebody telling you something. There is a wisdom that only comes from God. And when you have that wisdom will be expressed through your life. What that wisdom, it will bring to fruition in you: purity, peace, gentleness, mercy, good fruits, no hypocrisy. So James is talking about a wisdom that when you got it, it affects how you live, how you live your life, how you treat people, how you walk, how you talk, and certainly how you deal with your trials and your tribulations. Are we understanding a little more about wisdom? It ain't just you sit down and talk to the pastor and him telling you what you need to do with your kids, or what you need to do about your marriage, or what you need to do about your job. It's so much more than that. It has to do with how you treat your enemy, how you talk to your neighbor that you don't like, how to deal with a spouse that is walking away from God and you're trying to walk with the Lord. How to deal with children who's turning from the faith. how to minister, how to serve. We need it. We need wisdom. It is something that comes from above. From above, James said. Now let's look at Paul. Let's listen to Paul talk about wisdom. He's going to talk about it totally different. Well, first of all, let me read you this. 1 Corinthians 12:8. Again, I'm trying to get you thinking bigger than the experience that Granny gives you. Okay? We got to think bigger than that. 1 Corinthians 12:8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. There's a Holy Spirit, a gifting that brings forth words of wisdom. There's wisdom you can get from being 85 year old. But that wisdom it's different. There's a wisdom that you can be 15 year old and hear from the Lord. And what God, the insight God gives you and the clarity He gives you will reform how you act in the earth and how you deal with your tribulation, testing, and trials. Holy Spirit is trying to give you a gift. He gives a gift of wisdom. We're talking about in Corinthians, the gifts of the Spirit. One of them, he talks about the word of wisdom, right? I want you to think bigger than what somebody can tell you about their experience and good advice about a topic they're familiar with. We're talking about internal things, personal things. We're talking about warfare. We need wisdom. And God has already said you will face opposition in life, whether it is yourself, your flesh, right? Talking about acting right. Whether the opposition is yourself, whether it's hell's force against you, whether it's culture in this world, whether it's just what life brings, we're going to face this. And we're going to find ourselves deficient of the wisdom. And I think, I'll go ahead and say it. I think God loves the process of you finding yourself deficient so that He can impart it into you. And I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'll show you that later. God knows that you're going to be deficient of it, and He loves the process of you realizing you ain't got it and you need it, and you going, God loves to see you coming. I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'll show you that here in just a minute. Let's read a little more. I just want you to get what Paul says about wisdom now. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 1. I want to begin reading in verse 24. I'm just trying to get you to think bigger, okay? Bigger than how the English word, philosophy, sophisticated, bigger than how Western civilization has defined the word wisdom. We're talking about a spiritual principle, truth, and concept, okay? Let's read this to you. She's got it up. Good. We're going to go, Miss Brandy, I'm going to read it. I'm going to turn around and just read it off the screen with everybody, and we're going to go through chapter 2 all the way to verse 7, okay? But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, Christ, the wisdom of God. Paul has given him these nicknames. He gives Christ these nicknames. Christ is the power of God, and Christ is the wisdom of God. He is the clarity of God. He is the special insight into the Father. Now we're talking about if you lack it. Lack wisdom. Am I the only one that I don't just need insight? See, sometimes I don't need insight about my problem. Sometimes I just need insight about my God as I'm in my problem. And what I learn about Him is what I need more than I learn how to deal with my problem. Does that make sense? Has anybody ever been going through something? And then you have this prayer time with God and experience with God, and you begin to learn something personal and intimate about your Heavenly Father, and it begins to overshadow whatever problem you had. See, sometimes you don't need clarity about your issue. You just need a little bit more clarity about the Heavenly Father, and what you learn in the persona, the person of God, seems to overshadow whatever it was you was dealing with, right? Sometimes my problem is, how am I going to provide? And then I learned insight into my father that he's my provider. And now I'm not focused on my problem. I'm focused on the insight I'm learning in the Father. So I just want you to understand, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not wisdom according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are. Let's stop right here. So we are seeing in the New Testament, there'll be the word wise or wisdom. And when Paul or James brings up wise or wisdom, he will use it in a positive context, and then he'll also use it in a derogatory context. Do you see this? So he's already talked about the wisdom of men, and he speaks derogatory about it. James talks about the wisdom that's earthly. It didn't descend from above, and he speaks derogatory. So he'll speak of wisdom in two different ways. One will be negative, one will be positive, and that is consistent whether it's the Apostle Paul or James. They both speak of wisdom in two fashions. One's negative, one's positive, right? So we know the context is not the negative wisdom that is earthly, fleshly, man wisdom, but we're talking about something that only comes from above, that is in the person of Christ. In Christ, we have insight into the Father. Jesus is the wisdom of God. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom. But of him are ye in Jesus. God made Jesus wisdom unto us. He made him righteousness and his sanctification, redemption, right? He's my redeemer. He's my sanctifier. He's my righteousness, but he's also my insight into the Father. And somewhere the New Testament church has quit valuing what biblical wisdom is because we understand it through a Western civilized lens, right? So we don't have a lot of value for wisdom because we view it as the aged man or woman that tells us what to do, right? Instead of something that is personified in the Son of God that gives us insight into our Heavenly Father. That's a whole different story now, ain't it? And remember, James says, when you lack it, you're going to lack it. But when you lack it, all you got to do is get it. I'll get back to that. Let's keep reading. It just gets even better. Really, chapter 2, I think, is better than chapter 1. Let's keep going, Miss Brandy. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom. He's uses the word again, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ. I didn't come to you with wisdom, but it just turned around and said that Jesus is the wisdom of God. So he's speaking wisdom in the derogatory manner and in the positive. So I didn't come to you with man's wisdom when I preached before you. I came to you, I didn't know nothing but Jesus. I preached Jesus and him crucified. Let's keep going. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Next verse. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Because Jesus is the power of God and he's the wisdom of God, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. He says, I'm speaking to you in wisdom, but not in man's wisdom. There's a good kind and there's a bad kind. Howbeit we speak wisdom among you that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of princes of this world that come to naught. Next verse, and this is the last one. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Does anybody want that wisdom? The mystery of God, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Is our definition of wisdom changing a little bit? When we talk about wisdom, we're not talking about God. It ain't just, Lord, what do I do in this situation? But it is in agreement with this wisdom, with what God had ordained before the foundation of the world. What God was going to do. Jesus is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Let's keep going. Verse 8 after that, which none of the princes of this world knew. They didn't know this mystery. For had they known it, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. Right? He said they didn't know. Jesus is that wisdom. Jesus is the wisdom of God. This mystery of what God was doing. Paul refers to this mystery. The mystery was revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. In Jesus, we have the insight of who the Father is. So when Jesus is called the Logos, the Word, Jesus is the Word put on flesh and dwelt among us. I've told you before that God made human beings. That when I get ready to tell my wife or my children what's going on inside of here, because they can't look into my brain and see it, they can't do that. So God, He give us a mouth, and with that we have words, and God designed us this way, that my words communicates to the people I love what is going on inside of here and what is going on inside of here. That's why Jesus is named the Word, because He is the communication of what is going on inside in the mind and heart of the Father. When the Father got ready to communicate to His creation who He is and what He is doing, it was expressed and communicated through a man named Jesus Christ. He's the Word. He put on flesh and dwelt among us. And so when we talk about wisdom, now, are you with me? God, I don't want to feel like I'm beating a dead horse here tonight, you know, but it's important to me that we can come together and we can track and get to this place that we think differently when we read James 1:5. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask. If any man lacks wisdom, Jesus is the wisdom of God. He is the mystery of what God ordained. There is this wisdom that's from above that will reform and transform how you act, how you feel, and how you think, James says. Right? And you can go find wisdom that this world has to offer all day long. And there are many, even in the church, that is sitting at the feet of this world to attain wisdom. And they don't even realize. When God is saying, the times you need the clarity, and there will be times, I want to be the one to give it to you. Not this world. Not this world. He says, because what I'm going to do is I'm going to impart this wisdom into the weak things of this world, and turn around with the wisdom I impart into the weak in this world, I will confound the wise of the world. So if you seek your wisdom in this world, you will be confounded by the work of God. Or you can be the one who attains wisdom from Him and confounds the wise of the world. And so here we have James 1:5. If any, there will be times that we lack the wisdom, the clarity. I want you to know this. There is a guarantee. There is a guarantee. I want you to look at how this... the last thing I'll do is tell you how to get it. But I want you to find assurance tonight in that when you need it, you'll get it, okay? Look at what it says. Let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. The God that giveth to all men, okay? Do you know in the Greek... It's like, tel didanto theo. It literally translates the given God, the God who habitually gives, the God who loves to give. So here's your guarantee number one. You can have this insight into the Father, this mystery of what He's ordained, this what you need in your life in that moment, clarity in the moment, in the midst of your trial and tribulation. And many times it ain't the answer to your problem as much as it is what you see in your Father as you're going through the problem, right? He promises that if you want that, He'll give it to you. Why? Because that's His nature. That's what He does. The God that loves to give. The God that habitually gives. He's a given God. Somebody say He's a given God. Amen? He's a given God. He gives. It says, that giveth to all men. And I love that it says all men. This is important, okay? This is to all men. That means to anybody. He is waiting on anybody. Anybody. He don't give it to the pastors, just the pastors. He don't give it to just the prophet. He don't give it to just the teacher. He don't give it to just the deacon. He don't give it to just the evangelist. He don't give it to just the one that prays the most. He don't give it to the one that lived the best this week. He don't give it to the one that sinned less than everybody else in the church. We like to think that He has His little oracles that sit in church, that He gives it to just them, okay? He said, no, I ain't like that. You don't got to reach a level of sanctification and holiness for me to give you wisdom. You don't have to get good enough. You don't have to operate enough gifts of the Spirit. You don't have to be able to quote enough Scripture. You don't have to have an attendance this many Sundays straight without missing. None of that. He says, anybody, I'm a given God. I just give it. I give it to anybody that wants it. I give it to anybody. He says, anybody that I ask, right? Not to anybody that's good enough or anybody that's mature enough in the faith or to somebody who has a faith that's bigger than a grain of mustard seed. He said, to anybody, to all men, I want you to know He has wisdom that is plentiful and it abounds and it awaits you. And you don't got to do a check-off list or grow enough in the faith to get there. He's waiting on you. He's the God that gives it. And He gives it liberally. He gives it generously. You see that, right? He ain't stingy with it. He don't say, well, I know you need it. You really didn't act good enough. I'll bargain with you and I'll give you a little bit. But I'm going to save the rest for when you get better or save the rest for somebody who deserves it a little more. He ain't stingy with it. He don't say, well, you've asked for a long time now. I'll give you a little bit. It says He gives liberally. Look, hear this about your God. He's saying, look, if you need it, I'm a given God that gives it liberally. I'm generous. I'm a generous given God. And upbraideth not. What's He saying? He upbraideth not. He don't get upset when you come and ask. You can ask Him for wisdom every day for the rest of your life, and you'll never get on His nerves asking for more. He don't say, my God, Stetton, you've been asking. You asked me for 21 days straight now. Can you not just take a break? You're getting on my nerves. He don't do that. He don't say, oh, here comes Stetton again, needing more wisdom. It's like, I got this new part-time job, and I'm nearly scared to ask questions because I feel like I know they dread seeing me come again to ask them what to do right here, you know? That's the way I feel deep down inside, you know? I'm trying to learn. There's things I need to know. There's insight. But I nearly dread walking down the hall and asking and I'll try to figure it out the best I can because I think they don't want to see me coming again. I tried to warn them up front. I don't know a whole lot about a lot of things, okay? I tried to warn them, you know, and I feel like I'm a burden. But you know what? I ain't to God. I don't get on His nerves. He don't say, well, you ought to know by now, Stetton. You ought to know. You've been through this many trials and this many tests, and I've been good to you through all that, and you just ought to know by now, and you just need to quit asking. You should know. He don't do that. He don't upbraid me when I come. He says, keep coming. I'm waiting. I was waiting on you to come yesterday. Why didn't you come yesterday? You needed it then, too. I was waiting. I had a whole bunch of it to give you because that's what I do. I'm a giving God, and I give generously, and you needed it. You was deficient last Tuesday. You needed it, and I was waiting. He don't get tired of me coming. I don't get on his nerves. I don't pester him. He waiting. He upbraideth not. It shall be given to him. How many times can God say it in one verse? He giveth to all men. He giveth liberally. He don't upbraid you. He gives it to you. It shall be given. It shall be. It shall be given. It shall be given. He ain't a liar. He can't lie. Bible says, right? He can't. He can't lie. It shall be given. Do you know how much without excuse we are? Humans got all kinds of excuses. Did you know that we'll never have a legitimate one with God? The believer has no legitimate excuse when it comes to his God. What about that? He gives it. Now, the part I really wanted to leave you with was, how do you get it? How do you get it? Now, we know Paul's theology is, James' theology is, there's two kinds. One's good, one's bad. The good one comes from above, and it'll cause you to live in purity without hypocrisy. It'll cause you to live in peace. All this stuff, the kind that comes from above. That's Paul. That's James. Practical theology. James is practical. If you got faith, it's going to do something, right? He's just pretty straightforward. Paul's is really deep. He's saying this wisdom, if we want to get down to it, let's go deeper. The wisdom that God's given, Jesus Christ is that wisdom. It is, this wisdom is in the person of Christ, and that's where you find insight into the Father. The mystery of God is in the Son of God, and he's made himself available to us. He come here. He put on flesh because that's the only place that we can meet with God is in Christ. Right? This wisdom. Now, this is real good, okay? And I'm done. I'm going to leave you with it. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. I want to deal with ask of, what that means. Ask eto. I love this definition. It's twofold, okay? You need to hear this. You need to hear this. I needed to hear this. This word ask, eto, number one, it carries the idea of the tense is you keep asking. That's the tense. How many of you know in the Greek language there's verb tenses, right? It's a little different. It's not a one-time ask, it's a keep on asking. And that stays true to what God's saying. He don't get tired of you coming, you can keep on asking. He's going to give it, he ain't going to run out. He ain't stingy with it, he don't ration wisdom. You can keep on asking and you'll keep on getting. But that ain't the part I want you to notice as much as this right here. The word carries the idea of a firm request with a full expectation. A firm request with a full expectation. Now let me say it this way. Some of y'all asking without an expectation. Are you with me? Have you ever just said, God, I really need something, but you wasn't looking and waiting on him to answer it? You needed him, and you asked for something, and you get back out, and you go back to operating in your pity. That ain't what James says. Look, you ask, you firmly ask, because you've been invited to ask, right? You can firmly ask. You ain't got to wonder if you can ask. Sometimes we wonder if I can ask God this or ask God that. And no, you don't got to wonder about this. He's waiting on you. And you just firmly ask. Firmly ask. Do you know there's some things in life you don't get because you don't ask? This is a terrible analogy. I'm going to give it to you, though, because I don't have good ones. So I put on Facebook not long ago, I think I didn't really think much about it, I thought. I just said, hey, do any of y'all on here have any land you'd let a fella lease to go turkey hunting on? Well, you got no turkey hunters. Man, they so... Anyway, immediately, I got a lot of sarcastic friends. Winston County produced a lot of sarcastic people. And they immediately cut in on me, like, won't you go public land like everybody else? Won't you quit asking? And I was thinking, I didn't ask for free. I said I'd lease it, right? But anyway, people's like, hey, I don't hear... I was like, hey, babe, I just asked. I just asked. Simple question. Asked. Man, people started sending me messages. I got 100 acres over here. Go hunt it. I got 500 acres down here. Won't you? I said, well, how much do I owe you? He's like, kill them all. I want them gone. I eat my corn, you know? I just asked, and all these friends was like getting on to me. He's like, won't you go forest like everybody else, you know? Well, I learned it. I told a few of them, I was like, well, maybe y'all should have asked, because I got all kind of answers. And then I was like, well, can I go with you? I'm like, uh-uh. You can go to the forest like everybody else. So I just spoke their language back to them. But just, who knows? I just asked. Did you know sometimes with God, one of the biggest things is that you don't ask? Sometimes you don't know what to do. Everything's a blur, and it's chaotic in life, and that's what you feel, and that's what your heart sees. And the whole time, all he had to do was ask, and he would bring clarity, and it would either be clarity into what he's doing in your circumstance, or it would be clarity into who he is in your life. Either way, it's what you need. Either way. And all you had to do was ask. And the people that said I could, they weren't mad about it. They were like, yeah, it's a good thing if you come. You just ask. But when you ask, you also have to have full expectation. If we really want to understand the word, you firmly request with full expectation. When you ask him, then you get ready for the answer. Wait on the answer. Now, you can go to work, do what you got to do, but in your mind and in your heart, you better be waiting on the answer. If you're going to ask, why ask? You didn't have faith to get the answer if you ask and wasn't expecting one in the first place, right? Sometimes we pray asking, but we ain't ready for him to do what we ask him to do. We ask him, we abort. Do we abort the prayer? We ask him, and then we go back into some of our misery instead of waiting. You should be waiting on him to answer, to give you the wisdom. So he says, I want you to ask. I want you to come and ask. That's why I say God loves it when you ask. It's his nature to generously give, to liberally give. It's who he is. He's an habitual giver. There's things that he's got for you that you need. He loves giving you the wisdom. He loves it. Any of you got kids that you like it when they ask you a question, like you like to be able to tell them what they want to know? You like it. My son, he's probably back there asleep, ain't he, Brandy? Or see, I seen him walk by. I love it when he asks me something. When he asks me something about ball, if I don't know, I pretend like I do, you know, because I like giving him an answer. I like it, you know. He asks me something about hunting, and I like to be his daddy. And I like telling him what he wants to know or needs to know. I'd rather him hear it from me than anybody else. It makes me feel like a daddy, right? Yes. You value that, don't you? God values that when we go to him. I mean, he is always capable, but he loves it when we go to him. What he don't like is when we go elsewhere. He don't. Now, here's my favorite part of the whole verse, okay? My favorite part of the whole verse. If any lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Of. Okay, let's go back. Remember when Jesus, and we've talked about this, Paul uses this word a lot. When Jesus says that he would send them another comforter. The Greek word for the comforter is parakletos, right? Parakletos. Para is the prefix. Somebody say para. Okay. This word of is para. It means to come alongside. The comforter, parakletos, he comes alongside. ask of God, para, come alongside. You hear what this is saying? This is what God says. If you lack wisdom, all you got to do is come along beside me and ask. Come along beside. Come alongside. He said, he ain't just saying, hey, God, I need help, you know. He said, why don't you come alongside me? Right? He said, I promise to come alongside you, but he likes it when you come alongside, when you go to him. What does it mean to come along beside God when we ask? I don't think it's just this distant, desperate cry, but it's when I go to the Lord and I commune with him. I walk with the Lord, right? I spend time with him. I come along beside him in my prayer, in my Bible studying, in my worship, how we commune with God. Para, of. It's personal. It means to come alongside. It means that I would go to him. Come alongside. That just sit at his right hand. Walk hand in hand with him. Come alongside and ask. You see the picture? Just like the little boy that comes along beside his daddy and walks with his daddy and looks up and ask. My mom would tell you right now, when I was little, I used to ask. I remember getting reprimanded for asking a lot of goofy questions. Like, they still kind of aggravate me. I remember, like, I got on a kick for a few years when I was little, who would win between, and it was every day, who would win between a tree and a rock? The gunfight. What if shotgun and rifle got in a fight? And they're like, why do you, what? You know, I remember them, they'll still aggravate me about some of these questions. But I remember being little, you know, and I'd come along by daddy and grab a big old finger. And I remember being little and asking him questions, which I did get on his nerves. But I don't, my heavenly father, you understand? Something about coming alongside, you know, coming alongside and asking. And you can read over that verse, and there's just, it's amazing, the Word of God. Just little words unlock such meaning when you really study the context. We ain't talking about something somebody can tell you about what to do. We're talking about insight into the Father and what God had ordained for our glory. There's something, that's what it said in Corinthians, for our glory, right? Paul talks about the glory revealed in us, those things that's for us. So, I just wanted to share that with you. You will, maybe tonight, maybe you're here tonight, maybe tomorrow, a week from now, at some point, you will be aware as a child of God that I am sufficient. I lack the clarity and the insight that I need. And God, I'm asking you. I'm coming to you. I'm not going to seek it out from here or there. And I'm not going to Google to find it out. I'm not going to call everybody and forget to talk to you. I'm going to come along beside you the way a son would his daddy. And I'm going to ask you. And I'm going to expect the answer because you promised me you would. And you wanted me to come in the first place. You come along beside. And you will find what you need in that trial or in that test. It's either going to be what is made clear about your father or your circumstance. Either way, it's going to come from above. And it's going to look different than what your best buddy tells you. Because there's two kinds, right? Does this all make sense? I hope that we've reshaped our understanding of wisdom and understand there's the derogatory connotation and then there's the positive, in that this is something that's found in communion and intimacy with the Father, and he is faithful to give it to you. Okay? So you take this home with you. You sow it, let it be sown deep into your heart. And I know at some point we will all need this truth, okay? Does anybody have anything you want to say tonight? Ms. Brandy, if you get another song ready, we're just going to soak it in for a minute. He is the wisdom and the power of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has a whole bunch of it for you. Whole bunch of insight and clarity into who he is and what he's doing. Father, we thank you tonight. We worship you tonight, God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we recognize you tonight. We acknowledge you. We worship you tonight by faith. Lord, we value you as much as we know how. Lord, we pray that you would enlarge our heart, that, Lord, we would love you even better, even more. Lord, make us more like you. God, saturate us tonight. Permeate us tonight. Fill us up tonight. Lord, that we would overflow. God, we ask you together tonight for wisdom. Lord, it ain't knowledge that's my goal. It ain't what to do. That's not my chief end, Lord. But God, it's clarity into who you are and into what you're doing and how that relates to me and who I am and what I'm doing currently. God, that is the wisdom we ask for. So God, we ask. Firmly we ask. God, with a smile on our face, we ask. Lord, I pray that you would download it into us, God. Give it to us, Lord. Like manna that comes from heaven, give us this bread, this wisdom. For we know, God, your Son is the bread of life. God, we ask, we ask, we ask. Lord, we come along beside you, Father. We ask. God, as near unto you as we know how to get, Father, as we press in and draw in, God, we ask. We ask, Lord. We ask. We ask, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God, you're so good. Lord, I needed this tonight. I needed it. I needed it. And I pray, Lord, that your people have heard from you and, Lord, they value not what I said, but Lord, they value truth from your word. I thank you, Lord, for the effect that I have. Again, bless everybody that came this way tonight, Lord. I thank you, God, for their faithfulness. I thank you, Lord, for their hunger, their thirst for you. Lord, I know they get tired. I know they do. I know they do. Lord, I pray, God, that you would reward them